Well, or that was the Foxhole one.
That was the Foxhole one. But,
all right, hello everybody out there. You notice the studio looks a little different tonight. Well, it is because we're not at the studio. Welcome to Amateur Radio Roundtable. I'm Tom Medlin, W5KUB, and we're on every Tuesday night. And if you're listening out there on shortwave tonight on 5130, excuse me, you can join us. If you have internet access, you can join us by going to W5KUB.com on the internet, and you can join us there and watch the video, and you can also get in the chat room. I notice our cameraman's not doing too good tonight on focusing, so we're going to ride this out a minute and see if that straightens up. We're in North Carolina tonight. We're not in our studio tonight, so we're not going to have any remote guests tonight. Or Katie won't be with us, or Dave, or anybody won't be with us. And but we wanted just to try to come up online. We're running right on the edge of the internet tonight. You know, we're in the Blue Ridge Mountains in Tuckasegee, North Carolina. And you're lucky if you can get some internet access here. And we've got some internet access, but it's pretty slow. So we're streaming at about 400 kilobits tonight, kilobits per second tonight. Where normally we stream about 300 or 400, I mean, about 3 megabits per second. So we're down to probably 360p tonight. We normally do 1020p or high def, but 320p should be getting through fairly good. So, you know, there's going to be some blips in the show tonight. Not sure if we're going to be able to take care of all of them, but it's a little different trying to operate here instead of the studio because I don't have all the equipment here and I don't have all the various things that I can access here. I am looking at the chat room, and I'll be able to communicate with you guys tonight through the chat room and answer your questions and talk with you. Let's see. I was trying to read the chat room here. Yeah, it's 360. It's 360p. Oh, okay. Well, let me give you an update on W5KUB-18, our balloon. And, you know, it's done pretty good, although it's kind of disappointed me the last few days. We have been stuck in the Arctic region for about 2 weeks now. We got up, we crossed the North Pole. You know, there's a couple North Poles. There's your magnetic and your real one and whatever. I think we went north of one of the North Poles, made a circle, a figure eight, and we came back down. The winds up in the Arctic are very slow. There's some places the winds are only 2 miles per hour. We've been doing about 17 miles an hour the last day or so. We've crossed the Hudson Bay, and we should be by tomorrow. We should be going out over the Atlantic Ocean. I think we picked up some speed. We're up to about 25 miles per hour now. So I think we're going to be stuck. I think we're going to be stuck in an Arctic Arctic path that we're going to be going around up there. We're going to be going back as soon as we get out in the Atlantic. We're going to be curving back north, go past. We're going to go over Iceland, and we're going to go up pretty high up past Greenland. So I think we're going to probably do some of these sine wave type trips. I think we're going to probably fly some over Russia, and then we're going to go back up in the Arctic Circle up here, and then we may come back down again a little lower, but we're going to go back up. So there's some fairly good jet streams not too far from where we are, but I don't know that we're going to be able to get down in them. Orbits, yeah, and thanks, Teresa. Orbit's a good one there. So that's one of my concerns. We made three laps. Our goal for the show was to do a lap, to complete a lap around the world. And if you guys have been following this, you'll know that this is our ninth attempt. We launched eight previous tries, and we crashed everywhere from Spain to China to Africa to Poland. In fact, they recovered our balloon in our tracker in Poland. But I think, well, we did make it. So I'm very happy. We met our goal of one revolution around the Earth. We've got some bonus here. We've been around three times now. In the fourth lap, we're going for the fourth lap, although it's going to be a little bit slow because we're up in the Arctic and the winds are going to be slow, and we might just do circles up here. So I have no idea what we're going to do up there. You know, the sunlight up where we've been, the sunlight is just about day 24 hours a day up there. But the sun angle is so low. If you look at the sun up in the Arctic, it's right on the horizon, and it stays on the horizon, and it just moves across. It just moves across the horizon. Now, it will get as high as 40 degrees. That's not very high. We need about 25 degrees before we start operating. I did notice one day, though, we went, we actually transmitted for like 36 or 40 hours continuously without going to sleep. So, you know, I don't know if we're going to see any more of those or not. Hey, are there any questions? Questions in the chat room? Questions in the chat room. By the way, if you hear any noise, we've got company here, family coming in and out, and they'll be here. But I'll take any questions from the chat room that we might have. You want to be on the show? Okay, wondering who the man behind the curtain is. Well, there is no man behind the curtain. That is the air conditioning system blowing the curtain right there. So, sorry, nobody behind the curtain. Right outside that window here a couple years ago, that's a little patio out there, we did have a bobcat. There was a bobcat that was sunning out there on our deck. We had a safe trip. It's over, a little over 500 miles, and it normally takes about 9 good hours to get here, 9 to 10 hours. The trip was good. Let's see, where's the crowd? I don't know. I didn't bring a radio with us this time. As many of you know, we came over for Kathy's uncle's service. He passed away last week, and we had a service Sunday for him. Didn't bring a radio, but there's plenty of other things to do here. Yeah, the ants have been promoted. We promoted Sergeant Huey to Staff Sergeant Huey, and we promoted Captain Dewey to Lieutenant Colonel Dewey. Once they make another revolution, we'll promote them again there. Let's see. Andy has one, but I won't be able to answer it. Let's see. Buck Snort, we did go through Buck Snort. Buck Snort is an exit on Interstate 40. We did go by Buck Snort there. That's in Tennessee. And let's see. What mic are you using? It sounds good and it's small. This is a cheap. I'm It says Frisbee on it. This is a little cheap. I normally don't use this mic, but this is a little cheap mic with a little computer plug on it. It's not USB, but this is what it looks like. This little cheap computer mic, probably a $5 microphone, but this is handy to use in the car, like if we're driving and, you know, if we're webcasting from the car or something, we don't have to bring out the big mics and the heavy mics and so forth. No, I didn't. Hey, Doc, how you doing, Doc? I haven't heard you in a long time, Doc. I didn't bring the Rig Pi. Well, the Rig Pi stays at home. I don't have it connected right now. I did think about bringing the DV Mega. The DV Mega is the internet-based no RF radio that does DMR. DMR Fusion and D-Star. But I haven't had the thing turned on so long. I kind of forgot how to work it, so I didn't bring it. But it's a little box. It looks like a radio, but it has no antenna connection. It connects through Wi-Fi. And we could have connected it through Wi-Fi in the car. And at least I could have worked a lot of guys on D-Star and DMR. And let's see. Our show has a talk group. It's a talk group for our Amateur Radio Roundtable. And it is called, that talk group is 31693. We need to start using it. Someday, and this would have been a good trip, but we left in such a hurry that I did not get it programmed up and put it in the car. Let's see what's going on here. Okay, so Dave is going to post his extra class videos. That's good. Good to know this mic sounds good. And Doc, Papa Doc, man, it's so good to see you. We used to have a great time with Doc, WA4YYM. He would get in the hangout with us every Tuesday night after the show and smoke a big cigar in his car there, and we'd have a good time. What's a talk group? Hey, Bill, I'm not a digital guy myself, but a talk group is... it's a group assigned to you on digital that you can key into your radio and everybody can get on it. And I think you probably know what it is. Maybe you're just playing with me there. DMR, yep. I'll get that thing going, and we'll try to activate our Amateur Radio Roundtable talk group. Let's see, any other questions out there real quick? This is going to be kind of a very light to no show tonight. I just wanted to make sure I came on tonight, touch base with you guys and said hello to you, give you an update on the balloon and whatever else. Okay, Don's got a cigar burning right now, he said. And Don, tell me, are you in your car right now? Or is the wife letting you in the house there? Let's see. I was asked to participate in the QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo. They asked me to, but I just didn't have time to spend with them. And because of all the things going on, I did not join them. It's going to be a one-man show tonight, but we're gonna answer any questions that you might have and talk about a few things. Looking for ideas for future shows. The problem, I need help. I need help for people to help when we do particular segments, like test a new antenna tuner on a gutter or something. It would be cool if I had someone that can shoot the video while I'm talking about it, but I typically don't have anybody to do it. So most all the stuff that I'm doing here, I'm doing pretty much alone. So that makes it a little bit more difficult. John here says he's planning to order a DMR radio. Okay, well, there are three modes out there. There's Fusion, there's DMR, and there's D-Star, and the DV Mega will do all three. for you. Any more balloon launches? You know, Russ, we'll do another balloon launch, but we're kind of waiting to see if this one's, when this one comes down. I really don't want to put two W5KUBs up at the same time. We could make it work, and we could get different data on APRS screen on each balloon, but we would be mixing. We would be mixing the whisper calls, and that might be a little confusing there. So let's see. So yeah, we are planning. I still want to do one with a battery. I want to do one with a battery, and of course, if you follow the show, you know that a few weeks ago we did a battery test in a temperature controlled environment. We took the battery down to minus 70 degrees Celsius, and what we found is at minus 40 the battery became open. Basically, it wouldn't take a charge and it wouldn't put out any energy. So that is not going to work. That was a cheap Chinese LiPo, and we're going to keep looking for a battery that will work. Some of these LiPo batteries are supposed to work to minus 70, but we haven't found one yet. I have actually sent some emails to battery manufacturing companies asking them if they could help us to find a battery that would go down that coal. And this one company is very proud of their batteries operating at minus 70, but they're automotive batteries. They're LiPo automatic automobile batteries. So I'm seeing if they can't come up with something for us that's a little bit smaller than that, because we can never lift that up. Let's see what's going on in the chat room here. Somebody asked about Walter. I talk to Walter about every day. Walter's flying, but he's hoping he can retire any day. Well, in a few months he can retire, but every day he flies the wide body somewhere. And today he flew down to Shreveport. So, you know, it was about an hour and 15-minute flight down to Shreveport, and then he turns around and he comes back home. I need a nuclear battery. You know, hey, I was thinking, what about building our own battery cell? Do we have any battery engineers out there? You know how you can take lemon juice and, you know, a copper strip and a galvanized strip and stick them in a lemon or lemon juice, and you can generate voltage? What if we put a couple little tubes up there with lemon juice in it and made our own battery? I wonder if that would work at minus 70. It sure wouldn't be a LiPo, would it? Let's see. Let me see. I'm looking in the chat here, see if I see what everybody's saying. Let's see. Andy said 104 today. I think in Memphis it was going to be pretty hot too, like that. It's fairly cool here in the mountains. We will do another balloon launch again, probably after this one comes down. That'll give us some time to test and get the other one ready. You know, I had the backup a tracker and everything ready to launch in case this one that's presently flying went down. But you know, it's doing so good. I'm not sure when it's going to come down. It may be up for months, but that's good. And hopefully we can get out of that Arctic circle up here sometime in the next couple of weeks. Because it's pretty boring trying to watch it fly at 2 miles an hour up at the North Pole there. Let's see. N3OAW, I'll say hello to you there. And Mary, N3RCH up in Pennsylvania. You know, we're getting new people, and I don't know if we have any new people in the group that just joined our Facebook group, but we're getting new people that are just joining the Facebook group and following the balloon, and they don't know the story behind it. They want to know what the ants are, what does the ants stand for, and all that. And oh man, it's a long history here, so I'm just telling them all, go read through the post and you'll see the ants are real ants, and we actually promote them and award them and so forth. Oh, let's see. Is there any atmosphere at the balloon hikes? If so, use a tiny generator with a turn vane to stay in the wind. You know, I thought about that actually, but you know what? Sometimes, well, let me just put it this way. When we're in a area of wind, it's almost like we're not in wind. In other words, when the balloon is moving in a jet stream at 150 miles per hour, it doesn't have 150 miles per hour on the balloon because it's traveling at the same speed as the air. So I don't even know if a little wind vane or propeller would even turn there. Plus, we get down into some areas where, you know, we get down to 10 miles an hour and so forth, and we just can't take the weight. The whisper tracker only weighs 2 grams. 2 grams. I'd imagine to put a little motor generator on here, it'd probably weigh, you know, 100 grams, even for a little small one here. Let's see. Dreaded lantern flies. We call them lightning bugs down here in the South. Well, I think that's the same thing as your lantern bugs. Hey, when we were kids, we used to catch those, and would pull the little light off. if you pull the little light off of them while it's on, it will stay on. I don't know if many people know that or not, but you know what? We could use that and get a couple of lightning bugs and put them on our solar panel next time for our markers. You could probably see it a little ways off. Let's see what else is going on here. We hope Katie be back with us. I think Katie would have been back with us this week, but my plans changed for the show, and since we're not in the studio, it would be very difficult to bring in remote guests. None of our other co-hosts have a studio set up or have the capability to bring in remote guests like we do on the show. So I just decided tonight we'll just go alone here. Copper or arsenide? What? Okay. Tom, do I appreciate new hams? Well, of course I appreciate new hams. We all should. Do we have any new hams in a chat room tonight? Let me know. You know, I was a new ham once, but things have changed greatly since I was a ham 57 years ago. We didn't have things like Whisper and APRS and Digital and FT8 and all those kind of things. You know, back then it was tough back then. We walked to school up a hill both ways and barefooted. Let's see. The lightning bugs blink in unison. Yeah, I think I've seen a few do that. I think it's probably just a coincidence they do it. Okay, Arnie. K5ARN, Maxwell Pass technician. That's great, Arnie. Great news. Very good. Let's see. Lantern flies. I didn't know they came from China. What do you think of the latest sunspot predictions? You know, Bill, I really don't watch the sunspot cycles or sunspots. I know the bands get better and we have spots. I think we're starting to go into that cycle where the bands are going to start getting a little better. But I've also found that even when we think the bands are dead, if there is a contest, the bands really aren't dead. Everybody gets on. So I just wonder if that's, you know, if that's really the problem why the bands seem dead right now. I think they would not be so dead if people would just try them. Yeah, Andy, barefooted. We walked to school. It was uphill both ways. And, barefooted, and it was in the snow for sure. You know, I don't know, Bill, about the prediction, better or worse. I have no idea. Over the years, I've never really worried about the sunspot cycle in the 57 years I've been a ham. I think when I got my license back in 64, the sunspot must have been just great because, man, every band was hopping. 6 meter AM was hopping all the time. I mean, it was just a great few years there when I got my license. You know, and the sunspot cycle has gone up and down a number of times, you know, in my 57 years, but I never really paid much attention to it. And we'll say congratulations, Christina. Is it colder at high altitudes, at the same altitude, the equator, or at the same altitude? Doc, I don't know exactly. I have some articles I've studied that says the temperature would be down to minus 40 degrees Celsius at say, 20,000 feet. And then as you got up close to 30 or 40, it even showed it getting warmer. And then I've seen other charts that don't go along with that. I've seen other charts that show like minus 40 at about 20,000 feet and a minus 70 at our altitude, about 44,000. And, you know, I'm sure it gets colder during the night than it does during the sunlight. I don't know how much that sunlight affects the temperature there. Another question was, you know, like you mentioned there, equator versus over the poles. I'm guessing it's probably cooler over the poles just because the sun angle is so much lower up there. I would imagine it's going to be a little colder at the altitude at the Arctic. You know, 6 meters has been opening up some. I've been hearing six, and I'll tune around every now and then, and it's kind of good to hear it come back again. Yeah, Roland here says bands aren't dead. Just listen to the FT8 frequencies. That's true, and you don't even hardly need an antenna for FT8. Let's see, 6 was open today from North Carolina. Should have brought my rig with me. I'm in Tuckasegee, North Carolina. That is in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Blue Ridge Mountains. We're just a little bit east of the Smoky Mountains and in western North Carolina. And I normally take a radio outside and bring it here and operate. Here's typically what it looks like when I come over here. Here's a shot of me on the front porch, and Typically, I set up a rig there. I'm not sure what rig that is. It may be, I don't know which one that is. I can't tell. Anyway, the last few times I brought my 7300 over, and we'll operate here. I'll throw a string up over a tree limb, and then pull a wire up. Maybe I can pull a wire up 30, 40, 50 feet in the air, and I'll lay about three radios out on the ground, and I've got an auto tuner that sits right there, and man, I just hit a little RF on the radio, and about 1 millisecond, the antenna's tuned for any band that I want to operate on. So it makes it a good antenna for all bands, and it sets up real fine. So here's a shot of the house from distance. You can see that there's the front porch. Typically, I would be out on right there, and usually operating from. And here's a shot out the front off the front porch, and this is they just cut some hay today down there, so you can see it looks a little bare down here. That's because they just baled some hay up, or actually here they roll it in big rolls. Instead of bales, they make big rolls. So there's always something going on out here. You notice the little mountains behind in front of us. I got one right behind the house. It goes almost straight up behind the house. There's practically no cell phone coverage out here, but we do have a it's called a network extender, and it's a like a mini cell for Verizon, and it plugs into the internet here, and it actually becomes a mini cell site inside our house. So our phones, if they're not getting a signal from a tower, our phones will get the signal from our mini Verizon tower here at the house and make phone calls, and we can go out in the yard and walk around. It stays connected. And then if we got in a car and drove off, it would automatically switch over to one of the towers if we were in range of that. So, pretty poor cell service without what we're doing here on the internet to provide like a little micro cell. The same thing with internet. I'm on a very slow DSL here. The DSL speed here is about 6 megs down and about 500K up. And that's why we're streaming at such a low bit rate tonight. Let me get back to my picture here. So that's why we're streaming so low tonight, is because we just don't have internet here that is equivalent to what we have back at the studio. We don't have anything great at the studio like fiber or anything, but we do have internet back in the studio that's about 280 to 300 megs down and about 23 megs up. And as mentioned before, we usually stream about 2 megs or 3 megs up. Today we're streaming at 400 kilobits up. Let's see. How's the refurbing of the house? Well, we've just about completed it, Teresa. We got the floors down, we got the countertops down, some new cabinets built, painted. We just about got it finished. We're missing a few things. Bill, that's not fiber. That's not fiber. That's Xfinity cable. They're about the only thing in Memphis area that can provide. AT&T says. AT&T advertises that they have fiber, but they only really have fiber for about 1% of the people out there. So I've checked with them. They don't have it. In the past, we've used some satellite systems, such as Exceed. They've gone to Dayton with us and set up systems for us. But even the satellite systems are very bandwidth limited. The satellite systems can do about 25 megs down and maybe a couple megs up. So we're real happy with the cable we have at home. Let's see. Getting Google Fiber soon, that will be good. You'll probably get gig speeds. I know Joe, K0NEB out there in Nebraska, he had the fiber put in, and he's getting gig speeds, so that's great. One of the things you need to make sure when you get that gig put in, you need to make sure that your equipment will handle it. For instance, if you're using a wired connection in your house like Ethernet, many computers only have like 100 megabit Ethernet cards. So you might need to upgrade your Ethernet card to a gig card. Or if you get a gig network put in and your computer will only run 100 megs, you're not really gaining anything. And I also, at my home and there at the studio, I've got Cat5 wiring going to nearly all the computers that we use and through switches. And when we did go up to high speed, I found that even my switch, or some people may call it a hub, but it's the switch, it was limiting everything to 100 megabits, so I had to change the switch out to a gig switch, and that allowed me then to get the 280 megs, at the computer. Is it Google is putting up the balloon? It's called Loom, I think L-O-O-M, or Loon, L-O-O-N. And that's to provide internet access for people from a balloon. Actually, I don't think I'm thinking of the Tesla guy. I think he's wanting to put satellites up in a new network. That's what I'm thinking about. So they're actually beta testing that. The nice thing about what he is doing, he's going to put about 800 to 900 satellites up. I think he's already put like 60 to 100 up. They're small, and they're at low Earth orbit. They're like, 200 miles up. So you don't have, it's called Starlink. Who was that said it? Was that Doc? Let's see. What about Starlink? Don. That was Don. I think it's called Starlink, and the nice thing about that, and I've talked to some people about that, is since it's flying at about 200 miles up, you don't have the propagation delay. For instance, if you were using satellite on a geostationary satellite that's 23,000 miles out, you're going to have a quarter second up, a quarter second down, and a quarter second up, and a quarter second back down. So, you could have very long delays with that, and but with the satellite network that this guy's putting up at 200 miles in altitude, he's avoiding the delay. So that's good. And also, all his satellites up there are going to talk to each other using laser beams. So that's kind of cool what he's doing there. But that is called Starlink. I think they're testing it now. And he's launched maybe 300 or 400 satellites now. I think he wants to get that up to about 1,000 or something like that. But that's going to be interesting. Let me look and see here what's going on in chat. Let's see. Yep, I remember 300 baud. I remember 100 baud, 110 baud. I remember 50 baud. Guys, that takes me way back. I was a teletype repairman in the Air Force back in 1969, and our teletype machines ran at 60 and 100 words per minute. And that was like 45 or 50 baud, something like that. And, speaking of baud rate, this is something interesting. You guys know we're sending data over Whisper, and we're using a modified Whisper protocol to send data across to get all that extra information about our balloon, such as speed and altitude and course direction, all those kind of things. But did you know that the baud rate on Whisper is only 1.6 baud? I will repeat that. 1.6 baud. It takes 2 minutes. I think it takes 2 minutes to transmit about 50 characters. It's pretty slow. I don't know how he does it. Yeah, I have checked to see if there are alternatives to the Xfinity in our area, or at least get a backup in, and no one else in the Memphis, Western Tennessee area can provide anything near the speeds that we're getting through Xfinity. Let's see. TWX, yep, Bill, TWX, I think some of the TWXs were 300 baud, actually. When I got out of the Air Force, I went to work for Western Union. I worked a year for Western Union and repaired their Twixes and their TWXs and also the Telnet deal. So they had both the 110 baud and I think the 300 baud there. And that job only lasted about a year. It was a union job with Western Union, and about after a year, I was low man on totem pole, and I got cut from that job. But that's okay. I went on to bigger and better things. Model 33s. Bill used to fix Model 33s. Well, I did too. In fact, at Western Union, I fixed Model 32s and 33s. And those were cool. And as I mentioned, I got that job coming out of the Air Force. See, in the Air Force, I worked on mostly teletype model 28s, both the ASR and the KSR. I also worked on the Kleinschmidt. I don't remember the numbers on them, but so, you know, that's kind of helped me get into Western Union. You know, when I went in and talked to the manager at Western Union, and he said, well, can you pull a shaft out of a Model 35 and change all the clutches? And I said, sure. Well, let's see. Let's see what's going on here. Guys, let's do this. We'll be right back. Get out and be active with ICOM's new IC705 and its optional multifunction backpack. The IC705 is your perfect QRP rig, as you have base station features at the tip of your fingers in a portable package covering HF, 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. This compact rig weighs in at just over 2 pounds with RF direct sampling for most of the HF bands and IF sampling for frequencies above 25 megahertz. And it has a large 4.3-inch color touchscreen with a live band scope and waterfall. Additional features include 5 watts with the BP272, 10 watts with 13.8 volts, SSB, CW, AM, FM, as well as D-Star. It has a micro USB connector and Bluetooth, integrated GPS with antenna and GPS logger. It has a micro SD card slot. The ATM243 speaker mic comes standard, and it supports QRP operations. The perfect accessory is the optional backpack. It's the LC192. It has a special compartment for your IC705. Visit www.icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM radios. And don't forget, you should register for QSO Today's groundbreaking Virtual Ham Expo. This expo will be filled with virtual exhibits and great speakers, all from the convenience of your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Visit QSO Today, hamexpo.com to register.
LDG Electronics provides state-of-the-art antenna tuners for every amateur need. From QRP to QRO, fixed stations, portable and remote, an LDG tuner will match your radio to your antenna using our lightning-fast, proprietary tuning algorithms. LDG is a family-owned and operated company dedicated to bringing innovative, quality products to the amateur market. All LDG products carry a full 2-year warranty that is fully transferable. Support is only a phone call or email away. We're always here to help you. Visit us on the web at ldgelectronics.com.
All right. So, hey, somebody mentioned Model 14. I've also worked on and have owned Model 14s and Model 15s. That's the old one. I guess they were probably built back in the probably 1930s, 1940s. But I used to run a lot of radio teletype, RTTY, back in the day, back in the 70s, 80s, with the old clinkers. They were noisy and slow. And, nowadays with all the digital stuff, and plus, you can now run RTTY now without having to have a teletype, an old metal clunker machine. You just run it on your computer. And, in fact, some of the newer radios, like my IC7610, actually has a radio teletype demodulator in it. I feel a sneeze. And there it was. I had a sneeze there. Okay, yeah, paper tape, paper punch, both 5-level and 8-level. You know, your Model 28 was 5-level, and your Model 35 was 8-level. And for all you teletypers out there, you know, we would test a teletype machine. I don't know if they still do it today or not, but you would see RY, 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 RY just over and over and over as fast as you could. And that's because an R was a hole 2 and 4, and a Y was holes 1, 3, and 5. So that's on punch tape, and it's also the signal that goes into the printer. So RY, RY, RY would actually test, all the 1 through 5 bits, So we used to use RY, RY a lot. And another thing, now I don't know if people notice it, but the phrase, the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog's back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0 times. I've seen that in recent history, but we used that back many, many years ago because that has every letter in the alphabet and every number. And that was also a good test, the quick brown fox test there. He had a Cantronics TU unit. I built, I don't know if you could even buy a TU terminal unit back when I started. So we built our own terminal units, and we would buy little 88 millihenry toroids that were in surplus. And we would actually hook them to a scope and put a put the audio tones, the marking space audio tones across them, and we would actually take off turns of wire, and we would peak those 88 millihenry toroids, and that's what actually became our filters for the marking space tones. And we use both wide and narrow RTTY. The wide RTTY was 850 cycles, and the narrow was 170 cycles. And there was a couple different ways to do it. You could actually shift your VFO, 170 cycles for marking space, or you could generate audio tones that were two different audio tones that gave you the 170 difference, and just stick that into your mic input. So, that was back in the olden days. Things are much simpler now. Commodore 64. VIC 20. I think they're kind of in the same line. But hey, I've got a VIC 20, and I still have it up in my attic. And it had a big plug-in module. It would actually do teletype, and that was some computer, man. A VIC 20. I had, I think, 8K of memory. 8K of memory. Yep. Let's see what's going on in the chat room here. I actually took a Model 28 ASR to Dayton 1 year and sold it. Now, the Model 28 ASR is about 4.5 feet long, and it stood about 4 feet tall. It had the printer in it. It had the tape punch in it, and it had the tape reader in it. I sold that thing up at Dayton 1 year. It must have weighed 200 pounds. And somebody bought it and had come to Dayton on a bus. And they rolled it out to the bus, and the bus driver opened the side door, and they stuck that thing in the side of that bus. So I hope he's still having fun with it there. So Walt says he has a Vic 20 and a Commodore 64. You know, the paper tapes were interesting, and you learn how to fold them up on your fingers. You would do kind of like a figure eight on your fingers with the tape, and just roll them up and just hang them up. And probably many of you won't know what I'm talking about, but if you ever looked at a fold out a Playboy model in a magazine, you know, we actually had pictures made on the teletype that would look just like photographs almost, and some of them would be 3 feet long, 4 feet long, you know. And it was made by, you've seen the art where they use dots and commas and letters to actually create a picture. And we would send pictures on teletype. And of course, teletype was constant carrier, you know, a constant duty. So what we would have to do is we'd have to run our rigs about half power. We'd turn our output down to about half power, and we'd put a big 4-inch blower, a fan blower, over the finals, and just blow air through there, and that would allow us to be able to send teletype. Do I prefer FSK or AFSK? First, FSK is, of course, your frequency shift keying. The other one is your AF, or audio frequency shift keying. You know, I use both, Don. Either were fine. I think the FSK was probably actually a little better. And I can't remember exactly what parts they used, but it was real simple to do the frequency shift keying. I think we used a diode and a capacitor or something, and you added that to your VFO, and you either keyed that on or off, and that made your marking space. So that was probably cleaner, and it definitely didn't take as many parts to do FSK as it would AFSK, but... with the sideband rigs out and everything, AFSK appears on the end to sound just like FSK. You really can't tell the difference there. Let's see. Yeah, 64K is enough for anybody. Yeah, ASCII art. So we had a good time with teletype and things like that back then. We didn't have all the fun stuff that we have today, you know. And it was really, really quite crude back when we did that, actually. You know, I was mentioning, we were talking rigs and stuff when Martin was on here one night with us. And my first 2-meter rig was an 80V. I think an ADV. It was a Motorola. It was a taxi cab radio. It was all metal. It was about 18 inches long, about 6 inches tall, probably 12 inches wide. It had a big metal circular spot for the speaker in front, you know, holes drilled through the metal. And it had a volume and a squelch. And I had a switch. I had two frequencies in there, and I put the local Memphis repeater in there, and I put a direct frequency in there. And that thing drew about 25 amps, and it was probably 30 pounds in weight. So, but I would carry it out the car every morning when I drove to work, and when I got home, I'd pick that big thing up and take it back at the house and set it in the shack. And believe it or not, that was refurbished by him. It refurbished a lot of radios. And back in the day, they would wash those radios in a dishwasher. They would take the covers off and put that radio in a dishwasher, and those things would come out spotless clean. And then, of course, they had to let them dry out really, really well. And then, of course, we brought them up on the ham frequencies. Let's see what's going on here. Well, good night, Bill. See you. Andy Griffith Radio, not sure what that is. All right, so guys, we're sorry we just didn't have a great planned show for you tonight. I would have loved to have done that, but we've been pretty successful in having a show every week. I don't think we've missed more than maybe one or two shows per year. And that's usually on like a Christmas or something like that, and we'll run a rerun. I think it's really important for us to always try to have a live show and keep the momentum going here. We're going to be heading home to Friday, so we'll be back in the studio this weekend, and we'll start planning a show for next week. TR-22. Well, Don, your TR-22, that was a very modern rig. I know that was, I'm thinking back on what that was. I think it was a multi-rig. I don't know if that was a synthesized rig. It may have had a bunch of crystals in it, but it definitely has had multiple frequencies in it here. Oh, let's see. All right, well, we're going to cut the show pretty short tonight. I'm going to get something to eat here in a few minutes. And I just wanted to say hello to everybody out there. Yeah, the TR-22 was crystal. I think it had a bunch of crystals in it. You could load it up. I want to say 73 to everybody. We've been on about an hour now, and that's probably long enough to not have a lot of great talent lined up here. I just wanted to say hello to everybody, and we will see you next week. I'll stick around the chat room here just for a couple minutes. Hey, let me ask, is there anybody new out there? Is there anybody in a chat room that is new that hasn't been with our show before? And if you are new tonight, this is not typically what the show looks like. Usually we have a little bit more fun and a little bit more things going on the show. All right, let's see. Well, maybe nobody new tonight. There are a few calls there I don't recognize. Okay, we'll do. We'll drive safely. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us tonight.
So you're saying I can ask this cat any question?
The cat is connected to the computer. You just type in the question, it will read his mind. There the answer comes.
You're the man! I've been looking for this for weeks.